Here at Jewish Rock Radio, we care about the meaning and the action behind Jewish music. Every week on Jewish Rock Radio, we feature a series of provocative shows hosted by top artists in Jewish life, dedicated to enriching your knowledge about Jewish artists, their music, and the impact they're having on our world today. Up next on Jewish Rock Radio, join us for Jewish Women Rock with host Naomi Less. Jewish Women Rock features the best and most influential female voices in contemporary Jewish music. This show is brought to you by Positive Jewish Living, championing a holistic approach to spiritual and physical wellness. You're listening to Jewish Rock Radio and Jewish Women Rock.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Jewish Women Rock on Jewish Rock Radio. I'm your host, Naomi Less, and you are tuning into another episode of incredible, incredible women who are featured in this show, producers, songwriters, performers, you name it, they've got it. And today I'm really excited because, you know, in some episodes it's all music, and in some episodes I really feel it's important to actually interview and check in with some of the people who are doing this work in the world. And so I have a special guest today, and her name is Rebecca Goldsmith. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, how are you, Naomi?
I'm well, thank you. And listeners, you can't see, but we are actually looking at each other. So this is a for real interview. Rebecca is a friend, a collaborator, a co-conspirator. We've recently worked together through Labshul and my community, as y'all know. And Rebecca just came out with an album. So we're going to get right to music, and then we're going to learn more about Rebecca. But Rebecca, will you tell us a little bit about this first song we're going to just jump right into?
Yeah, thanks. I'm really happy to be here too. Thanks, Naomi. First piece on the album that we're going to listen to is a song called At the Edge of the World. And this is a piece that I wrote with my co-producer, Julie Wolf. I was exploring this idea of this story of Rabbi Nachum of Breslov, who talked, it's the seven beggar story, and it's the third beggar story inside of this larger story. And when I first heard it, I was struck by all the possibility that happens between ideas, between people, between love, and what happens when we think about and we consider kindness being the essence of the world.
Mm. Thank you. So this is At the Edge of the World by Rebecca Goldsmith from her album entitled
Seeding the Tree.
And you're listening to Jewish Women Rock on Jewish Rock Radio, your official home for Jewish rock.
The top lies a rock. From this rock flows a spring. At the other edge of the world stands the heart of the world. She has to give one. slipping away, and the heart is nearly broken. The world is slowing to its final resting place.
Hey, everybody, that was At the Edge of the World by Rebecca Goldsmith, who is here with me in this Zoom room that we're recording in for this episode of Jewish Women Rock. And I just, it's what a journey. I will talk at some point about the journey of listening to this album. I definitely want listeners to hear the really unique way that you released this new album, this new CD, this new MP3. Whatever we call them today, album. I think album's still good.
Yeah, I still use it. I'm old school.
Me too. I love it. Go Gen X. Anyway, yes. So Rebecca, I know we would love to hear a little bit about you and like how did this album come to be? What was the birthing process?
Yeah, what? Well, it was quite a birthing process, and it started about 4 years ago, really. I guess I would just say that for me, Judaism itself has been a real journey. I grew up conservative and loving Judaism and music and the harmonies that I heard sitting at my granddad's side every Shabbat. And when I turned, you know, like I became a teenager and I started questioning like women, where are women's voices in this world of Judaism? I was born at a time that was just on the wave of change, but I was on the other side of the wave, the earlier side, and I didn't find the answers that I was looking for. And instead of digging deeper and finding my way, I turned away and I was really angry and wounded. And so I really shut the door for Judaism to Judaism for a long time. And still was cultivating like a deeply spiritual life, I realized, and community. And so all of these values that had really been seeded in me as a child in a Jewish community, in a Jewish home, grew in other ways and eventually planted me. I'm using a lot of metaphors around tree and growth, but planted me right back into the center of Judaism. And basically through the voice of my grandmother, who passed away many, many years ago, but came back to me at a particular point, said, this is a time for the next step in your journey in life. And you have to be in in the things that are uncomfortable. You have to sit inside of your lineage. You have to sit inside of what you are born into in this world in order to move forward. Mm. And
what a message for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting chills.
What does it mean to sit in that discomfort? Right.
Mm-hmm, right. And so I leaned in and I said, okay. And really from the moment I said yes, I began to be guided by women and other marginalized voices as I had experienced them inside of Judaism. They were the voices that were pulling me, and I discovered all these people who had shown up in the last 20 years while I was busy being angry and frustrated and closed. There were people that were doing the work. They were digging. They were showing up. And so I came back to like this wealth of healing.
You name a couple of those folks that kind of struck you as like, wow, they're doing this work and you connect?
Yeah. Rabbi Jill Hammer, who is like really a main guide for me. And I find her scholarship so fabulous. And Rabbi B'nai Lapi also, who really opened up this idea that that being in the question and in the wrestling is actually the thing that keeps Judaism alive. So I'm real grateful for being exposed to Savara and queer Talmud, and just knowing that I have access, just as I am.
Well, Rebecca, I want to go into our next song, and I think that some of the things that you've mentioned earlier, I mean, it's so incredible to lift up all these incredible voices that you're tapping into, and leaning into that journey and coming back to say, okay, you know, guided by the voice of your ancestor, how beautiful. I wonder if that was connected to this next song that you're going to share.
Yeah, so my grandmother, so it's quite beautiful actually, because the work that I did outside of Judaism was around singing and community singing. And as soon as my grandmother showed up and opened me, I said, what's going on in the Jewish world with music and communal singing? How are people gathering and building relationship through sound? And very quickly, I found Joey Weisenberg. And there was an intensive that he was doing 3 weeks later. And I ended up going right to that to that intensive. I ended up finding a way to get there. And I sat in community there for 3 days singing with the people in the room and the spirits outside of the room, really feeling all of that. And one of the songs that he was teaching that year was a song called A Time for Love. And the nigun of it stayed with me, and it kept, I would wake up singing it. I would sing it during the day. And
can you explain to the listeners like what don't know what a nigun is?
That's great. It's it's a wordless melody. And I come to find out it's part of this beautiful tradition that we have, comes from the Hasidic tradition, but it's a way of connecting beyond words to the point of ecstasy of being in relationship with the divine. And so it strips away all of the worldly and goes right to a primordial way of being in relationship, which is sound. And so from this little pinprick, this sound that just got inside of me, this whole album came to be. And so I have the song on here, A Time for Love, both as a way of really honoring the journey and also the words of it that come from Ecclesiastes, which is, you know, this whole thing, there is a time for everything. And for me, that is really important in this journey.
Mm. Yeah. So we're going to listen to A Time for Love, written by Joey.
The music is, yeah. The liturgy, it comes from Ecclesiastes.
Great. So lyrics from the Bible, beautiful melody by Joey, and brought to life on this incredible album by Rebecca Goldsmith, A Time for Love, right here on Jewish Women Rock on Jewish Rock Radio, your official home for Jewish rock.
Hey. atab ve'et lakornatua et laharog ve'et lirpo. Lifrots ve'et livnot yalalai 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 lai yalalai 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 lai yalalai 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 lai yalalai yalalai yalalai
Yeah.
Welcome back. That was A Time for Love, sung by Rebecca Goldsmith from her album, Seeding the Tree, that was literally released seconds ago, like a hot flash ago, seriously. And Rebecca is here with us in this Zoom room, in this audio connectivity portal. And so I'm so delighted to hear more about how this album came to be. And I just want the listeners to understand that this album is actually a journey. And what came to me was, I don't remember the last time I actually listened to an album, right? Like, remember those days? For some of our younger listeners, like, it may not, you know, because of Spotify and the nature of our world, we don't necessarily listen to whole albums anymore. But this is an album that takes you on a journey. And the journey dances in a lot of places, which I'm not going to talk about because I'm going to leave that to Rebecca. But one of the things that I was really struck by was that oftentimes God is this like really taboo subject for people, or challenging or wrestling subject, or lots of baggage associated with it. And I know that there are pieces in your album that connect to these questions and wrestle. Would you share a little bit?
Yeah. I'm so glad you're connecting to this idea of journey, because it really is. And it's a journey to make it. It's a journey in the listening. And actually, it keeps showing itself to me. So the journey continues. As does my relationship.
Quoting Debbie Friedman's album.
Oh, well, there you go. That's
the journey
great.
Continues. It's true. Raising up another woman on whose shoulders we stand, right?
That's right. That's right. Shout out to Debbie Friedman. Yeah, my journey with God is still in motion. And when I first started this, I really bristled. I really bristled at the maleness that I grew up with, that the way that we think of God, so gendered in Judaism. And
can you give everybody an example of that? Like what?
Yeah, we say, you know, King of the Universe, Lord our God, He. We refer to God as He. There's at least for me, and I know a lot of people, there's this image of like a being on a throne in the sky that we're looking up to, that a father who judges us, who loves us. It's a very paternalistic kind of relationship. And I never responded to that as I started to grow and question things. But there didn't seem to be any other way. And so for me, God kind of knocked, this idea of God knocked me out of spiritual practice. And I felt like if I can't see it that way, it's not possible for me to participate in this. And so one of the first things that came for me was this learning about the concept of the Shekhinah, this notion of the indwelling presence. And I don't think I'd ever heard of it. And I've done Kabbalat Shabbat when I was younger. And I mean, mm-hmm. it's this major presence of an aspect of the divine. And just exploring that a bit started to open up all kinds of possibilities. Well, if God is in this other, we can look at God in this other way of the Shekhinah, and it's inside of me, and it's the experience of being alive and connected in the world, then it opens the door for all kinds of ways of considering these aspects of God. And indeed, in our tradition, the Kabbalistic and the mystical tradition really explore different aspects of God. And so it gave me permission to see that other people were considering God in all of these other ways, that I could also do that. So I went in specifically with the Shekhinah as a way of saying, like, what if I started to consider and replace the words of that I associate more masculine with the name Shekhinah? What does that do for me if I shift it? So at the very beginning of this journey, I took a line that I had heard at B'nai Jeshurun. I was in a Kabbalat Shabbat there a couple of years ago. And there was a song that we sang, Shir Chadash Asher B'Shem Adonai Hashem. And I changed the language. And actually, the language came to me as I was sitting at the piano singing a melody. That came, that line, and it came in the feminine. And in the changing of the feminine, it changed the meaning of the sentence, where once it meant, or it could mean, sing a new song to God. it turned into, as someone defined it for me, sing a new body of song to the Shekhinah. And I thought, well, that's the journey I'm interested in. What does this mean to sing a new song in a tradition that opens us up to all different aspects of the way we think of the divine? And I want to just say that in that, I have found incredible partners who are also asking those questions. The Kohenet Priestess Institute asks these big questions, and Lab Shul asks these big questions that says, you know what, if the thing about God is going to knock you out, put it to the side or think about it in a different way. It's okay. There's so much here. And in that, alongside with actually like deepening my practice around prayer in a traditional sense, which I also did, I could find my way through to a much more complex, much more nuanced relationship with what this divine, this creator of life, this interconnectedness that we all have. And so This music, Shekhinah, shows up over and over in different iterations. She's woven through this entire album, as she is, and as like the creator of life is. And I don't land on a she. I think it's like a return to some balancing for me. That's like parts of us are missing, and parts of us have been missing in our tradition. So let's wrestle with that, and let's expose ourselves to these new ideas and old ideas, bring them back, lift them up,
right,
and see what happens when they combine again.
Because in some ways, this was part of the tradition that got redacted at some point.
Uh-huh. And in looking and going back to things, it's actually in plain sight.
Right.
It's right there. If we're looking through a lens, we don't see all the things that are right on the other side of it. And so this practice has been about opening up what I'm looking at. And there are so many people in this world right now that are like really opening those up. And that's the power of where we sit in this moment. So yeah.
Well, let's open this up right now.
Beautiful.
Let's listen to this first track on the album, Shekhinah, as we begin again in this journey with Rebecca Goldsmith, right here on Jewish Women Rock on Jewish Rock Radio, your official home for Jewish rock.
Can't get enough Jewish rock? Visit us online at jewishrockradio.com.
You know, you're not a real fan until you fan us on Facebook. Come on, let's be friends.
Jewish Rock Radio.
We'd like to share a very special thank you to Positive Jewish Living for generously underwriting this episode of Jewish Women Rock. Positive Jewish Living, championing a holistic approach to spiritual and physical wellness. Visit Positive Jewish Living on Facebook. For more information about the artists on all Jewish Rock Radio shows, as well as showtimes, please visit jewishrockradio.com/showtimes.
Everybody, welcome back. This is Naomi Less, your host of Jewish Women Rock on Jewish Rock Radio. And today we are having a special episode featuring the birthing, really, the release of a long journey that Rebecca Goldsmith undertook to create her new album journey called Seeding the Tree. And we've had time to explore a lot of the concepts and the journey of how this album came to fruition. And before the break, you heard this opening track of the album, Shekhinah. And I asked Rebecca on the break to really share with us her process of creating this album, of like, who was the producer and how did this come to be and what was that all about? So I'm going to hand it off to you, Rebecca, to share a little bit about that journey of like the actual creation of the album.
Yeah, so I would say that listening is actually a key idea to consider while I'm talking, because I listened to friends who, while I was talking about what I was trying to do, what I was interested in exploring, said, you need to talk to Julie Wolf. She's the person who can work with you in this way. And I listened and I reached out to her and I told her, you know, I talked to her about what I was interested in exploring. And her response to me was yes. She just was ready to jump in and collaborate with me. It was like a meeting, a spark that we both felt and knew. And throughout the process, which was also a long part of this journey, she really allowed me space and time and allowed me the opportunity to keep questioning, to keep putting new ideas on the table. And she would take those ideas and lift them and grow them with me. And at midpoint when we were working together, I went in a completely different direction, which is what we've got going on this album. And I said, we're going to go in a new direction, Julie. And she said, okay. So she kept listening. She was immersed in the experience with me. And it required both of us to just surrender and say like, something's happening here and we're going to go with it. And I think she would say that it required her to engage in recording and making an album in a really different way than she had before.
Right.
And together we didn't know what was going to happen, but we said yes to the process.
So it's so interesting. I'm going to interrupt you for a second because I know a lot of our listeners are musicians themselves and we have to find producers that we can work with and that see our vision. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like there was a vision. You were bringing a vision, but she was right alongside you. She took on that vision and allowed herself to go where the vision was continuing to morph. And that's not a given when you're looking for that kind of a producer relationship. Yeah.
That's right. It's definitely not a given. And I trusted like, oh, I can put my faith in this person and they're going to hold all my vulnerability. They're going to hold all the gifts that I bring. They're going to hold the places that I'm not really sure of myself and walk with me. Mm. And that's what she did. She did that the entire way through. I think I did that a little bit with her too. I mean, we might acknowledge, it would be an interesting conversation for the two of us to have.
We should have brought her on.
Yeah. I mean, bring her on at some point, but for sure. But yes, the idea and she held it all the way through it in the rehearsal or not the rehearsal. We never had a rehearsal. We went right into recording. What you hear on this album is mostly improvised.
And that's a passion of yours, right?
That is a passion of mine. A lifelong passion of mine. And so in that process, she was able to say like, oh, the energy is really shifting here. It's time to move on. Or let's be in this conversation. Or she could see that I had a frustrated moment, or I was really alive, and she would just move. She breathed life into it with me. We were moving together. And even in the aftermath, for the 10 months after, we chiseled away at all of this recording that we had.
Oh, wow.
We would sit together and we would sit in a ritualistic way and we would listen, so that the way we created the music originally was also the way that we edited the music. As a singer, songwriter, this is my first experience in a recording studio making an album. And I had no idea. So this was like just the way I created. But for her, you know, and I thought, oh, the creative process is just going to be in the recording. But it continued. It was so powerfully creative and rich the entire way through. And Julie,
it reminds me a little bit of like a documentary filmmaker's process a little bit, that you have all this footage and then you have to figure out like what's the actual story. This next song that we're going to listen to, Lo Yo Sé Goy, was kind of indicative of that process, generative editing and discovering on the way.
Yeah, it was. What we were doing as a group was exploring the mystical world of Asiya, of action, the soul, the nefesh, the embodied kind of sensual aspect of the soul. And those were the prompts that I gave to our musicians, and then we explored it. And we were done with the exploration, and it got started to get quiet, and I heard Sing Lo Yo Sé Goy. I hadn't heard this song. I hadn't sung this song in 20 years. I didn't even remember what it actually
was. I have to tell you, I was very surprised to hear it, because I didn't look at the album tracks when we were doing our when we were doing the listening. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it was like, Lo Yo Sé Goy. Wow. And then that is for a listener, it's like, wow, what does that mean?
Yeah.
That's a journey.
And it came in this place of earth. And the earthly experience. And so in my head, I was like, no, the exploration is over. We're done. And it was like insistent, sing Lo Yo Sé Goy right now. So I did. And it turned out when I went back and looked at the words, it was about war and it was about what is happening in the world. And so what actually came after the Lo Yo Sé Goy was also this idea of prayer to heal, the healing prayer that we have. We have this opportunity in this moment of time to look at what destruction we have caused to the earth and to each other, and to turn back to each other, to turn back to our spiritual beings and ask for healing and seek it and do it.
Mm. Well, let's do it.
Let's do it right now.
Beautiful. Let's go into this moment. This is Lo Yo Sé Goy, Rebecca's version of this journey, produced by
Julie Wolf
from Seeding the Tree, her new album, right here on Jewish Women Rock on Jewish Rock Radio, your official home for Jewish rock.
Lo Yo Sé Goy, El Goy Cherev, Lo Yilmedu Od Milchama, Lo Yo Sé Goy, El Goy Cherev, Yilmedu od milchama, Lo Yo Sé Goy, El Goy Cherev, Lo Yilmedu od milchama, Goy Cherev, Lo Yilmedu.
Wow, what a story, and what, wow. I do want to acknowledge to listeners that I've been calling that track Lo Yesagoi because it's in the track, but actually, Rebecca, what is the title of the song?
Yeah, the title is three words. It's Action, Earth, Asiya.
Right, and so Asiya. If you're looking for Lo Yesagoi on the album, you're not going to find it.
You have to listen to it to find it.
That's right. Listen through and you'll find it. It's so crazy to think that our time is nearing an end. I could just have like 5 more hours of just listening to everything that you're sharing about your journey and process. It's pretty profound, and this is a pretty special and magic-laden, medicine-laden album. And I hope that this gets out to as many folks that need it as there are on the earth. I mean, my goodness. So it's been such a gift, Rebecca, to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's been really great to be here. Thank you, Naomi.
You are so welcome. Mm-hmm. And I know we have one more piece that we're going to listen to as we close. But there's a story behind that as well, too. Yeah. As there always a story. Our life is stories. So
yeah, so I was in a Shabbat service, and my rabbi, Ari Glabowitz, shared this song, Blessed We Are, by Peya. And when he sang it in our service, I immediately felt, oh, this is part of this journey. This song is part of this journey. And so I recorded it, and it's not on the album. It's you can find it on my Bandcamp site and download it. I'm not selling it. It is a gift in the world, and it's meant you can listen to it as part of this journey, and there are instructions for that. But what I love about this is that it deeply expresses my belief in this world. We have so many layers we're swimming through, particularly now with how difficult this time is. And for many people, it's been difficult forever. And when we engage in the spiritual, at least what I found is that this exploration, this journey for me has kept me more deeply grounded in the world. It's like, how can I use this body, this precious, precious time that is so short, to be fully alive, to be fully expressing myself? And this song, Blessed We Are, says, This is what we need. We need to remember why we're here. We need to remember that our lives are sacred. And so, you know, I offer this as an opportunity to remember why you're here, and to let your life, to let your soul, to let your spirit soar on the wind of possibility.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the music and the words are by Peya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this beautiful interpretation of this song is by Rebecca Goldsmith. And we're so, so grateful to be on this journey with you in this sacred, precious time. So we'll have a chance to say goodbye right after the song. But here's Blessed We Are on Rebecca's album, Seeding the Tree, right here on Jewish Women Rock, on Jewish Rock Radio, your official home for Jewish rock.
Blessed we are to dance on this ground with the rhythm of saints to carry the sound. We pray. pray for our lives, for the ones yet to come. May you walk in beauty, remember your song. Blessed we are to dance on this ground. The rhythm of saints to carry the sound. We pray for the earth, for the ones yet to come. May you walk in beauty and remember your song. Remember why you came here. Remember your life is sacred. Remember
beauty, remember our song.
Welcome back, folks. Wow. How about that one? And I have to say, somebody who has sung this song at Lab Shul in our community, it's just, it is truly medicine, and it is grounding. And this journey, Rebecca, and everything that you've shared about the leaning in and challenging and the whole journey, like, it almost sounds like this, there's been like a tikkun, like a major like cosmic repair for you.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful way to speak to it. I think that what I've learned is that leaning into the places that are uncomfortable and that are hurt and wounded, and opening my eyes to what's possible there helps all of the parts come together. So I can hold my grandfather's Judaism in the same hand as I hold this new way of understanding and this way of being, or lifting up older elements that sit side by side with elements that that have previously felt excluding. They all have their place. And what that means to me is that all the places inside of me fit and they're all welcome. So the journey continues. It's a dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, well, you are most welcome. All of those pieces are most welcome on this show anytime. Our listeners have had a journey themselves too, and we're so curious about it too. So feel free to be in touch with us, with Rebecca, through her website. What's your website?
My website's just my name, Rebecca, R-E-B-E-K-K-A, goldsmith.com.
And give us feedback too. And, you know, we have the Jewish Rock Radio Facebook groups and all of our portals that you know how to get in touch with us too. And I hate to say it, but this is it. This is the end of our show today. And it's been such a gift, a joy, a pleasure, a journey. I think our theme word, honestly, is journey, obviously. Listening to pieces of Seeding the Tree, Rebecca's brand new, like literally hot off the press seconds ago. With what the most unique CD release ritual I've ever been a part of. What a gift. And you can you will be able to hear this all month on Jewish Rock Radio. You can also hear previous episodes, or the most recent episode of Jewish Women Rock, and learn more about the artists that are featured on the show by visiting the website, jewishrockradio.com/showtimes. And make sure you follow Jewish Rock Radio on Facebook and on Twitter. And I believe we are on Instagram as well, too. So thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Naomi.
Thank you. We will get right on with the music right here on Jewish Rock Radio. I'm your host of Jewish Women Rock, Naomi Less, and this is the official home of Jewish Rock.